Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
So let's look at this, Luke 4. It's a story here. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the piece where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And we'll finish there, but this story is, this is where Jesus goes to speak in his hometown. It's a Sabbath, so it's a church day. He's rolled out the church in his hometown. Prior to this, Jesus is starting to build some great momentum. People are talking about him. His Facebook just got super popular. He's doing some great Instagram photos that lots of people are liking, which always builds your self-esteem, let's be honest. He's doing tweets that are getting retweeted, and the retweets are getting retweeted. How many love it when that happens? He's starting to build this momentum in his ministry. Miracles are happening. I mean, he's on cloud nine. Jesus is rolling. Things are happening. And what happens is here in this story is Jesus comes to his hometown and this church. So he steps into church. He's pumped. He's excited. And he gets up and he reads from this prophetic, he reads from a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, and he reads it out and he goes through and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then he begins to really unwrap what God wants to do. He talks about preaching good news to the poor, preaching the gospel. He talks about freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release for the oppressed. It's all of this awesome stuff. And then you can almost feel the excitement in the room. You have to understand that this was exactly what they wanted to happen. They were excited for all of this stuff. Jesus gets up and says, "This is about to happen. It's going to blow up. It's going to be powerful." And then what happens is it says that people were actually excited. It says, as we read in different versions, we'll say it differently, but it says all spoke well of him. So that he speaks this stuff, and everyone, he rolls up the scroll, hands it back, and everyone's like, this guy's pretty good. You know, when you get a preacher, sometimes a preacher gets up here and he starts and you're not sure, and then a couple of minutes in, you think, you know, he's not too bad. This was going on. They said, this guy's good. This guy, it says, we enjoy, it says, they were amazed at the gracious words. They're talking about it now in the room, and it's almost like you can feel this atmosphere of faith start to build in the room as Jesus gets up and begins to declare that this prophecy that years and generations earlier had been prophesied about, Jesus begins to declare that this now is the time. It's about to happen. They're excited. They're passionate about it. It's awesome. The room's filled with excitement. But then the second part of that last verse that we read is where everything changes radically. They go from, this is awesome, the gracious words. They're amazed at what he says. He spoke so well. There's an excitement. And then they say this, "But isn't this just Joseph's son?" And then all of a sudden, the faith gets sucked out of the room. When they begin to talk to one another and say, isn't this that carpenter dude? Didn't he like make our table? Is this that same guy that built that chair that we sit on? Is this the same guy that carved the little toy pony for our kid? Is this just the carpenter? Didn't we see him? Didn't we grow up just right near him? And they begin to reason, and what they actually do, and we know this, we've preached on this before, but I want to set this up here. What they do is in this moment, they actually dishonor who he is. And in that moment of dishonoring him, and if you look more into this story, what they actually do is they restrict the very work that God wanted to do. You understand that God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring breakthrough. He's standing on the edge saying, just let me at them. But in this moment, they restrict. You think about that. An all-powerful, all-knowing, supernatural creator of the universe, all of his power and all of what he wants to do in that moment is restricted because of dishonor. What I want to talk about today is I want to begin looking at this topic of honor, and I want to talk about what it means to live a lifestyle of honor. I'm not going to preach about acts of honor. I'm not going to preach about the attitude of honor. I'm going to preach about a lifestyle of honor, because if you just focus on trying to do acts of honor, but you don't have a revelation and live a lifestyle of honor, those acts will only happen as long as you're around people that deserve honor. But when you have a revelation of what true honor is and you live a lifestyle of it, it won't matter who you're around, who you're with, you'll constantly honor them because you've got a revelation of a kingdom principle. When we talk about different things within church, we talk about, like what we shared, we talked about a healing. You've come to a church where we believe in the supernatural healing power of God. We don't believe that it's just something that happened in Bible times. It's something that we believe God wants to and is in fact doing today. When we talk about healing, when we talk about breakthrough, when we talk about freedom, when we talk about blessing, we talk about increase. All of these different things that we talk about, you have to understand that we are actually talking about the kingdom of God. Yeah. That is how God's kingdom operates. If you want an understanding of what his kingdom looks like, we need to look at what heaven looks like. In heaven, there is no need. In heaven, there is no lack. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there is no depression. There is no anxiety. There is complete freedom in heaven. So we've got to understand that God's kingdom is filled with everything that we talk about, everything that we preach about in church. If you want to encapsulate it all and bring it all together, you could just simply put it all under the one banner of the kingdom of God. Do you understand that God actually wants us to establish his kingdom here on earth? Do you know that? You are not just here to exist. You are not just here to be someone that is a part of a church and has some nice friends and enjoys Sunday and cries when the service is good and gets the warm fuzzies when it's powerful and goes home the same. But what God wants to do is God is all about establishing his kingdom here on earth. That's why he said, when Jesus said to the disciples on how to pray, he said that we have to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants to establish. He doesn't just want to do a healing over here and freedom over here and then some breakthrough over here and a little blessing over here. Do you understand that when God's kingdom is established, you get all of it at once, and it's not just a moment, it's a lifestyle that you live in. Do you understand? Are you following me? So what God wants to do is he wants to establish his kingdom here on earth. And do you know how he loves to do it? Is God loves to establish his kingdom through us. He doesn't just want to zap, you know, like a magic sort of fairy and just zap his kingdom somewhere. He put you there. He put his kingdom inside of you when you were created in the image of God, and he's given you plan and purpose and a sphere of influence that you are called to establish kingdom in. So I don't know about you, but for me, that gets me excited when I think that wherever I go and whatever I do, whether you're going into school, into your college campus, into your workplace, into your family, everywhere you go, if you understand who you are as a child of God and what you carry, then you understand that you are there with a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan and purpose is to establish the kingdom of God right there where you are. So if you step into a scenario where there's some disruption, you are there to carry, you have kingdom so you can bring peace to that scenario and that situation. If you're with someone that is sick and they need a physical healing, you have healing. The kingdom of God includes healing. You are there to actually bring the kingdom of God to that situation. It changes how we live. It changes the perspective that we have on how we live. So God wants to establish kingdom. And this was what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus got up and Jesus said this, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. He's saying the time is now. He's saying it's time to establish kingdom. The day to establish kingdom is now upon us. There's going to be recovery of sight to the blind. There's going to be healing for those that need it. There's going to be breakthrough. There's going to be freedom. And he begins to declare it, but it doesn't get established there in his hometown because they dishonored him. So if dishonor can hold back kingdom from being released, if dishonor can stop kingdom, then honor can release kingdom. If dishonor can hold it back, then honor can release it. So I want to talk to you this morning about a lifestyle of honor. And the reason why I set it up like that before I said it is because the moment you start talking about honor in church, people think that we're about to say, I need more people to call me pastor instead of Ben. Listen, let me tell you, I don't care if you call me Susan. I don't care. Understand, what we've done is we've watered down the message of honor to just being about the pastor getting a special parking space and us giving someone else a seat on the front row. I want to tell you, it's a bigger principle than what you realize. Honor is not just about lifting up a leader. And there, listen, and I'm going to talk about that, and that is important. But I want you to actually understand how powerful honor is. It's not just about magnifying the leader, but it's about honoring God in every single person. And when God is honored in every single person is lifted up and kingdom is established in your life. Honor is about unlocking kingdom. So when we talk about this now and I talk about honor, I want you to get this excitement in your spirit when you understand that when you get a revelation of honor, you get a fresh revelation of how to unlock kingdom in your life. I want to show you that honor can unlock the kingdom of God in your marriage. Some of you are praying for God to restore your marriage. What you need is you need the kingdom of God to be released in your marriage. Because his kingdom brings unity. His kingdom brings oneness. His kingdom brings peace. There's no room for hate and disunity in his kingdom. That's what you need in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace. You're praying for God to bless your workplace. What you should be praying is, God, I want your kingdom in my workplace. But I want to show you how honor can actually unlock kingdom in your workplace as well. One of the most powerful things about honor is understanding that it unlocks kingdom. There has been a huge attack at the moment, I believe, from the enemy on society to attack this whole area of honor. When you look at the decay in society, children don't respect parents anymore. There is no respect for elders anymore. Like when I grew up and you were like messing around or whatever in the street, which I never used to do, everyone else used to do it, and misbehaving. And whenever you were addressed, whenever an adult came and addressed you, it was like a big deal. You know what I mean? That's where like you were freaking out. Now teenagers, young people don't care about it anymore. We have this. There is no respect now. There has been an attack. Even the way we talk about authorities that God has placed in our life. There seems to be a lack even in the authority and respect for police officers, for the law. Even the way we talk about at the moment, where you know the what do you call the president thing? Election. I just drew a blank. Why do people love it when you mess up on stage? You guys love it, hey? They're like, hi, he's an idiot. You're like, yeah. There we go, we're back. But even the way in which we talk about politicians, what I'm trying to get you to understand is, it's recognizing, I believe, it's actually a strategy of the enemy to pull down honor. Because what the enemy has seen before, he sees how honor can release the kingdom. And what he cannot have is the kingdom breaking out. When you understand, once the kingdom breaks out, what that does, you understand how powerful it is. There's a few things that I want to show you in regard to honor. I want to talk about honor in a concept that is different to what I feel that I had heard preached many times before in church. It's something that we have to adjust. It's understanding, in order to understand the kingdom of God, we have to adjust in our thinking. Jesus came and Jesus said, when he began his ministry, he started off and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The word repent means to change. And the Bible says, how are we changed? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what Jesus is saying, he's saying, my kingdom is here. I'm here and I've brought my kingdom with me. But in order for you to receive and operate in my kingdom, there needs to be a change in your thinking that has to take place in order for you to receive and operate in my kingdom. Does that make sense? So that's what I want to talk about. There's three quick things that I want to touch on in regard to honor. Is the first thing regarding godly honor, kingdom honor, is honor establishes order. Honor, when you honor, it establishes order. I wrote this down. Kingdom principles create kingdom order, which establishes kingdom culture. Kingdom principles create kingdom order, which establish kingdom culture. I don't know about you, but I have a heart to see God's culture established. I've always had it burning in my heart since I got saved. I don't want to be someone that just exists. I don't want to be someone that not step into atmospheres and change atmospheres. This was what was so great about Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he changed the atmosphere. He transformed the culture. And it's all about establishing kingdom culture. How do you establish kingdom culture? By walking in kingdom principles. When you walk in kingdom principles, you call in kingdom order. And what happens is honor establishes order. It in fact says in Romans 13 verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So you know what that says? It actually says that even if you disagree, even if you have an issue, unless they're telling you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, we need to honor the position that God has given them. That's in regard to our leaders. That's in regard to our police officers. That's in regard to politicians. Whatever it is, we need to actually honor the office that God has given them. You may not agree with the method, but we need to honor the office. It establishes kingdom order. We've seen what happens when order, when there's unrest and things, and people are not honored who have been given an office of leadership. Even in our country here, it's you know, you see it in regard to the police force, and yes, and we all know that people make mistakes, but that's not what I'm talking about. Is you have to understand what the Word of God tells us to do is to actually honor. So what we need to make sure we do as Christians is whether someone over us is making a mistake or not, that does not negate from the fact that I am called to still honor them. Don't change who you are and who God has called you to be to make room for someone else's dysfunction. If they are doing something wrong, don't change who you are and God, what God has called you to be. You say, listen, you can do that. That's fine. God will deal with that. I know that God has told me to honor you for the office that you have, and that's what I'm going to do. People too often, they step outside of what God has called them to be based on someone else's dysfunction. You did this to me and that's wrong. Therefore, I'm going to step out of honor into dishonor and you create disorder. Wow. Honor, right honor establishes order. It's understanding. I know it's basic and I know it's simple, but I understand that there is such a powerful key in this. In 1 Samuel, we hear the story of David. David believed in this principle so much that when David was under Saul, understand Saul was out of control at this point. Saul hated David. He wanted to kill David. He was not in a good headspace. Things were not going well. He was not leading properly. He was over David. He didn't have respect for him. He was not honoring David. He was David's leadership. David had every right to dishonor him. But watch what happens in this story. Saul is actually tracking down, trying to kill David. And during this time, what happens is David gets in this, they're in this situation where they see Saul, and Saul has gone into a cave by himself and he's just chilling, resting in a cave. And David's men say this to him. It says, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with him as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He didn't even touch him. He just touched his robe. He said to the men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. David believed so much in the principle of honor that even when it came to someone who was not a good leader, someone who was out to kill him, David still recognized the office that was given to Saul and said, I am going to honor you. We need to understand this. Do you know that some of the things that perhaps God wants to do in your workplace and you're praying for God to do, I believe would be unlocked if you made a decision that you're going to honor your boss. Regardless of what everyone else in the workplace is saying, regardless of what everyone else in the workplace is doing, if you make a decision to honor your boss, you can actually, honor is the key to unlocking the kingdom in your workplace. It's a powerful principle. It's honoring our elders, learning to honor our elders, husbands and wives. In Ephesians 5, verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each one of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. It says, as to the weaker vessel. The interpretation there just is simply talking about physical strength. Mind you, I've seen some of those UFC chicks. I don't know if that's always right. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, look at this, that your prayers may not be hindered. I don't know about you, men, but that one freaked me out. That your prayers may not be hindered. Do you understand perhaps what God wants to do in your marriage and the change that you're praying for is actually a kingdom change that you want to take place, and God will release that when you make a decision to honor. Some of you are holding back what God wants to do because you're so focused on how much the other person needs to change. Well, what if God, all of the time, you're whinging about what they're doing and what they're doing wrong, God is trying to speak to you and say, I will change their heart if you would make a decision that you're going to honor them where they're at. Don't wait for them to change before you honor them. See, we're talking about a kingdom principle. The world understands honor as they see it. And there is an element of that that's kingdom as well. Honoring people that deserve it. Honoring people that earned it. Absolutely. But kingdom goes further than that. Kingdom says you honor people that don't deserve it. Kingdom says you honor people that have not earned it. That is the kingdom method of what honor looks like. The other thing about honor, and this is, I love this, is honor actually builds people. We are called as Christians, we are called to honor every single person. The Bible does go through and draw out specific people. Yes, pastors, yes, leaders, yes, your parents, things like that, widows, it talks about that. But then it's almost like there's these trump card verses that just get thrown in there where it just says, you know what, honor everybody. In 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God and honor the king. Romans 12 verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Do you know how powerful it would be if every single one of us in this church honored the person beside us and what God has put on their life? See, this is where we've got it mixed up, is the church have gotten so good at honoring the pastor or honoring who speaks from the pulpit. And hear me, I think that's a biblical principle and we need to do that. But if you would recognize what God has put on the person beside you, if you would honor what God has put on them, the same God that's in the pastor that's preaching at the front, the same Holy Spirit, the same anointing, the same breakthrough that's on them is also on the person beside you. And if you would actually honor that, let me tell you why. It's because people have seen the pastor at the front lay hands and do a miracle. So everyone says, I want him to lay hands on me. So what you're doing is, because you've seen it work before, you make a decision, I'm going to honor him. I'm going to honor the pastor. I'm going to honor Pastor Javon. I'm going to honor Pastor Jensen. I'm going to honor Pastor Ben or Pastor Jay. I'm going to honor the team. And through that honor, yes, you release pastors to do something that's supernatural. It's not something it's not something that they have in the natural. It's something they get from God that's released through honor. But if you would look at the person beside you the same way you would look at someone on this platform, whether it be a TD Jakes, whether it be a Catherine Kuhlman, whether it be a Reinhard Bonnke, you can pull out of the person beside you that same anointing, that same healing power, and we would see kingdom break out in this church right across this whole community. And God wants to do it through honor. That's why we did what we did, raise hands, and we got people to raise hands who needed healing, and you laid hands on that person. I want to encourage you, church, and I believe so strongly in this. We've got to grow in our revelation. Listen, the enemy is happy if he can keep us in this distorted revelation of honor where it all comes from the pastor, he's happy. Because then what he does is he's managed to confine the kingdom of God to only being released through the pastor up the front. Do you know how powerful it would be if the church understood that you've got the same thing right beside you, in the seat beside you? I want to tell you, we would have miracles break out right across this place if we would recognize it's not about the vessel, it's about the God that's inside of them and the anointing that they carry. And I'm going to just honor the person beside me and say, would you pray for me? Pour out upon me. I want to tell you, God will do something supernatural. Kingdom will break out. It's kingdom. That's what we need. That's what our desire has to be. God, I want your kingdom to break out. Honor will release the kingdom of God. One of the things that we find so difficult about this, because we hear it, And we're like, I think that's good. I think valuing, lifting up the person beside you is good. You know where we find it so hard when we trip up is you have to understand that humility is the launching pad of honor. If you do not walk in humility, you will never understand true honor. Because what honor is, honor, the word honor means to lift up, means to raise up. And the reason why we find it so difficult to honor the person beside us is because that would require us to lift them up higher than where we are. If we could get to a place where we're that humble, where we say, you know what? Because what happens is humanity gets in the way. Because the person beside us, see, the person on the stage, you don't often know our humanity. You just see our awesome messages and you see the nice, pretty picture, but you don't see the broken, screwed up mess and bend on Monday. My wife gets to see that. Ask her. No, don't. She could write a book. But what I'm saying is, we let humanity, that's what happened in this story with Jesus. There was faith in the room until they recognized, hang on, this is the same Jesus that we've seen before. I've seen him running around as a kid. I've seen him with a hammer in his hand. I've seen him, he's just like us, and we allow humanity to get in the way. See, the problem is with honoring the person beside us is so often we know their faults. We know their challenges. We know their mess ups. But I want to encourage you. What honor does is when you honor them, you see all the faults, you see all the mess ups, you see the humanity. But honor, when you get the eyes of the kingdom, honor looks beyond all of the dirt and the garbage and the junk. And it reaches down to the God inside of them, because every single one of us are created in the image of God, and it digs down and it grabs a hold of the glory that's inside of them, and honor brings glory to the surface. And when you elevate, whatever you honor, you elevate. Some of you, the reason why you don't get a miracle out of the person beside you, the reason why you don't get to experience what they carry, is you have elevated their weakness. You have honored more what the enemy has done in their life than the God that created them and the God that is down in them. I want to encourage you and stir you, church. If you can look past the humanity and see what God has put inside of them, you will actually release kingdom out through their life and experience a breakthrough in your life like you have never seen of or imagined. We need to get to a place of understanding how powerful honor is. You release kingdom. It's unlocked in humility. It launches off humility. Lifting someone else up. We don't want to do that now. We get scared. If I lift someone else up, what about me? Yeah. Our society is wired this way. It's all about getting my own. It's all about me getting the position. It's all about the doors opening for me. And what's happened is, see, that whole thinking is motivated by fear. And fear will never release God. If faith releases God to do, then fear will hold it back. And so what happens is your thinking is motivated by fear, because what's actually happening is you're worried about what will happen if you don't go first. You're worried about what will happen if you don't get elevated, if you don't get lifted up. But I want to tell you, man doesn't elevate people. God elevates people. And if you would make a decision to be obedient to the word of God and say, you know what, I'm going to honor some people around me, even though I know their issues and their challenges, I'm going to lift them up. God will position you to where God's called you to be. What it does is, honor is tested in failure, in weaknesses. Honor is where you recognize who a person is without stumbling over what they are not. Just because someone makes a mistake, that doesn't mean that's who they are. Who they are is what they were created in. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what mistakes you've made. Every single person is created in the image of God. Honor sees past all of the mistakes. And it sees the gold inside. We need to be a church. I want to tell you that honors. If we catch this revelation, and there's so much more in this that we could go into. We've reduced the revelation of honor down to flattery. We think if we just tell someone good job, that's honoring. Listen, I want to tell you, and it's great, you know, if you do something and people, you know, people say good job, but I want to tell you, honor is another level. And it's not about, it's about releasing kingdom. It's about releasing the kingdom. We need as a church, we've got to honor each other. Honor the person beside you. I don't care who they are. I don't care whether you relate to them or not. I don't care what skin color they are. I don't care what part of town they're from. Do you know what God could do? What would break out in our church if we honored the God in every single person? We're wired though. We're wired to look for the bad. Aren't we? Every single person is like, we look for, well, I don't know, there's a bit of this or something's funny there or something. What if we got the eyes? Jesus was so comfortable in who he was. It didn't matter. He never changed who he was and how he was going to operate. Whether he was in front of Pilate, he was still Jesus. When Judas was skimping off the top, taking money, he was still Jesus. Think about this. Judas, he still rolled with Judas, knowing everything that was going on. But Jesus, that's what I love. He had this ability to look past the issues and he pulled out the gold. The woman that was brought in adultery, he looked past the issues and pulled out the gold. What if we had a culture, not just an action that we did, not just that, you know, people calling someone pastor and, you know, and I think, listen, hear my heart. I think that's awesome. But to be honest, I don't care. But I understand the power of honor. If we created a culture of honor where when people walked in here, it's almost like the atmosphere was so filled with honor that the gold inside of every person just starts to come to the top. You know how powerful that would be, that we could get lost and broken and messed up people, because the reality is we're all like that. Anyone who thinks they're not, you're a liar. We're all messed up. We're all journeying it through. We've all got issues, but we serve a God who, listen, he honored us first. Do you know that God, why do we honor? Because he honored us first. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Honor means to put value in. Do you know the value he put on you was his own son? Sinless, blameless. He saw you in all of our issues. He saw us in all of our mistakes and said, he's worth my son. I mean, you talk about honor, talk about lifting up. Let me show you this last verse and I'm going to close. Revelation 4, 9, 11. It's talking about the throne of heaven. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Do you ever think, this is saying we as humans, we give glory and honor to God. Do you ever think, where did I get the honor to give him? Do you think about that? Is that not the dumbest thought, that I would give God honor? How did I get honor to give him? I got honor because he honored me first. He honored me in my mistakes. He honored me in my sins. So I give the honor back to him. And when I give the honor back to him, whatever you honor gets elevated. He gets elevated and he gets lifted up in my life. Honor unlocks kingdom. When you start walking in kingdom, God breaks out all around you. When you start walking in kingdom, things will start happening that you didn't even pray for. It was just a thought in your mind that maybe you thought that'd be great one day, but kingdom is oozing out of you. That's how the disciples' shadow was healing people. It was kingdom that was oozing out of them. I want to tell you, you're going to start to unlock kingdom in your workplace and start walking into meetings, and kingdom will start to ooze out of you. Atmospheres will shift. It'll be transformed. People will start getting revelation just through you walking in the room, but God wants to unlock it through honor. Honor is a powerful, powerful key to the kingdom of God. Honoring God, honoring his presence. And I love our hearts in this church. We come in so hungry. I want to encourage you, keep coming to church hungry. Honor his presence. In worship, don't just chill like because you know the song. Honor, he is here. God's in the room. You know how powerful that is. That God, when God steps into the room, honor him. Lift up praise to him. Lift up worship to him. Some of you, God will unlock the greatest revelations in the Word of God than you've ever seen in your life if you would honor his Word. Don't let it just be a plaque that hangs on your wall. Get in his Word in the morning and say, God, I honor your Word. Speak to me. Lord God, we love you. God, we thank you for your presence. God, I honor you even right now in this room. Someone that has arthritis, God, I speak over that right now in Jesus' name. I speak over people's bones and their joints. I honor you. I honor your presence in this room. God, I lift up those people right now and I declare healing in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I honor your power, your miracle working power in here right now.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you are blessed.